packaging. It didn't say next door. Because your neighbor is anyone you come in contact with. You know, again, you know, as I was teaching school, we used to teach geography and history and all that stuff. Do you know Canada is called our neighbor to the north? And Mexico is called our neighbor to the what? So your neighbor is not your next door neighbor. That's your next door neighbor. But your neighbor is anyone you come in contact with. You don't believe this? Go to the 10th chapter of Luke. See how important words are. Luke 10th chapter. What kind of God is this we serve? Is he a good God? He is an awesome God. Amen. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. This is around verse. Okay. Praise God. Verse 25. Behold, this was this. It was a certain lawyer that stood up, and he tempted, talking about Jesus, tempted him, saying, this is what he said, Master, what shall I do to inherit what?
Eternal life.
That's a good question. And he said unto him, this is Jesus. What is written in the law? How readest thou? And I just took you to the law. Let's see what he says here. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy what? Strength, and with all thy what? And thou shalt love thy what? Now he bringing the law. Let me tell you what's so. Inspiring when you read God's word. When he asks a question, the answer always come back to him. So I asked you before, what's the question? The answer is Jesus. He asked this question, but he's a lawgiver. He's a lawgiver. So he said, what the law say? He could have said, what I say. And later on he did say it. So I know what you heard. But what I say, look what it said about the law. Oh, praise God. He said this. This is what he said in verse 28. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and you shall do what? In other words, he said, don't just answer it, do it. He said, you gave the right answer. Now what? Do it. But he willing to justify himself. This is the lawyer. He willing to justify himself unto Jesus. Now listen at this. And this is what he said. And who is my neighbor?
All right.
This the lawyer asking the lawgiver a question. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said unto him, said, a certain what?
Man.
Went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which did what? Stripped him among thieves and stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest. First of all, it was a certain man. Now you got a certain priest that way. And what happened? When he saw him, he passed by where? Priests representing religion. Seeing a man in need. And pass to the other side. Keep reading. And watch what it said in verse 32. And likewise that what?
A Levite.
When he was at that place, he came and looked on him, and he did what? He represented the priesthood. The law. Because you know the Levites were the ones that came from the descendant of Jacob. Came from his son Levi, and they were the priestly tribe. Oh, God's word is so good. What's the next one it said? But then there came a Samaritan, a certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had what? Now, why did Jesus use this? I'm not going to stay here because I want to take you to Acts. He used this because the Jews hated the Samaritans. So, but out of his storytelling, he's letting them know that out of all of those that came by, saw a man in need, the only one that helped him was a Samaritan. God will get in your business. He will expose your prejudices. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Good God about it. Listen what happened now. Excuse me. And he went into him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. And what happened?
Took care of him.
And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host. And what did he say unto them?
Take care of him.
And whatsoever you spendeth more, what happened? Look at this. Who talking? Jesus talking. But who ultimately is the good Samaritan? Jesus. He's watching everything that you do. He know your prejudices. Here you are. Bring your offering so we can help the poor. And you found somebody on your way to church that's poor, needed help, and you passed to the other side. You don't get in church to shine. You do what's right while you're out there and give God the glory. Watch this. Go back. Let me show you this because I'm going to have to leave you. He said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among whom? Everybody asked now, which one was the neighbor? That's what Jesus asked of these three. I just took to show you how the word of God opens up. It's greatest commentary. He explains what he means in his word. Other books that you write, they write about the Bible. Hallelujah. But this is the Bible. It comes alive. It gives you the answer. But you got to seek for it. And watch what he said here. I'm going to go back. And then he said, this is verse 37, he that showeth mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, said, you go and you do what?
Likewise.
That's your neighbor, anybody you show mercy to. Anybody you show mercy to. That's your neighbor. Acts 20. What did I tell you? Acts 20 what? 26? Okay. See, can you find it? That was a good little lesson. When you go to church, y'all come back from home with something. That's right. Y'all not to come back mad at who they was talking about when they was throwing off. Y'all to say, well, now I wonder who they was talking about then. It was Acts chapter 26. Praise God. Don't we serve a good God? I told you verse chapter, what did I tell you in Acts 26 chapter? Okay. Let's see if that's the one I want to go to. Okay. Okay, let's see. 26 may be the one, it may not be. But I want you to see how important the word is when it comes to, instead of the 26, it's going to be the 23rd. I'm sorry, 23rd. Yeah, 23rd. I do have something for the 26th, but 23rd, that's where I want to go. 23rd. Okay. Give me 3 minutes and I'll bring this point. And then it's 7:30 and then we'll take a break. Okay. Go with me around verse 11.
Acts
23, 11. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So he's talking about, this is Apostle Paul now. He was, for the gospel's sake, he was being persecuted. Let me stop and tell you this. When you start teaching and telling the truth, don't think everybody gonna love you.
Amen.
Let me tell you that right now.
Amen.
So you may as well go on and tell the truth.
All right.
Because it's the truth that's going to make you free.
That's right.
But it's also the truth that you know.
Come on now.
Everybody don't be happy with you telling the truth.
Right.
And if everybody start loving you, watch yourself. Are you going along with everything to go along to get along with everybody? Praise God. Are you bold enough, praise God, to stand for what's right? Stay with me. Let me show you. Because it won't make you popular. But it give you some points with God. Now watch this. This is around verse 20, 11. And that night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. For what? For thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Look at this. They were going to kill him. He said, but like you testified of me in Jerusalem, you're going to testify of me in Rome. Go back to verse 12. Watch what it said here. And when it was day, certain of the Jews band together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Dr. Davis. Put your name there. Because if you're telling the truth and you standing for what's right, get ready. Get ready. This is what it said. I'm trying to help you to get ready. Look what it said around verse 13. And they were more than how many? Church full. Church full of folks that decided that they gonna kill you for telling the truth. Go to the next verse. So they came to the chief priests and elders. These church people, I'm telling you, elders. And this is what they said. We have bound ourselves under a great curse. Or people, just a curse. A great curse that we will eat nothing till we have what? In other words, they fasted. Lord, have mercy. Oh, God. They fasted. They ate nothing. They drank nothing. But they had fasted themselves under a curse. So we're going to kill it. But God had said something.
All right.
God had said, Paul, just like you testified of me in Jerusalem, you're going to testify me in Rome. God had given him a word, but they was working against it. If God is for you,
come on now.
He's more than the whole world against you. And don't think they're not working against you. Are you hearing what I say? You just make sure you're not compromising what you know about God. Because they'll elevate you. If you compromise, look what the next verse says. This is around verse 15. Now therefore, you with the council, I want you to signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though we would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or ever we ever come near, we're ready to kill him. In other words, they're saying, listen, you got to help us with this. Tomorrow, bring him down and just pretend like we need to ask him something and get some more clarity on it. Did y'all hear me? Have you ever had somebody call you in? Well, you know, you soon you get to work. They need to see you. Listen. You don't know who has gone in ahead of you and conspired against you. That's why you need the Spirit of God. So in that hour, he'll give you what to say, what to speak. Stay with me. God's speaking to you, so listen what he's saying. This is around verse now. Watch this. Verse 16. I want to read 15 again. Now this is a conspiracy. Therefore, ye with the council, I want you to signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we are ever he come near, we are ready to kill him. Now watch this. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, God had somebody in the right place. Somebody who wasn't out of place.
Come on now.
Who overheard them. That's why I told you, you need to watch. Watch how important it is to be quiet. Listen at this. his sister's son, which make him his what then? His nephew. Let's see what happened. So his sister's son heard them lying in wait. He went, he entered into the castle, and he told who? He told his uncle. The Holy Spirit withheld that information, but keep reading. And then Paul, he called one of the centurion. The word centurion means he was a soldier that was over at least 100 persons. Now the word centen mean 100. Cent, 100, century, 100. So he was over at least 100 people. And Paul was one of them. So he called the centurion unto him and said, bring this young man. He didn't say bring my what? Talk to me. Are you saying this? He said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to do what? He didn't even tell him what he was going to tell him. He didn't say, get my nephew and take him, because he already told me that they going to kill me. He didn't say that.
All right.
I hope you're getting something from this. Some wisdom. Listen what happened. Hallelujah. And then Paul, watch this. This is round. This, so verse 16. He took him and brought him to the chief captain. He said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who has something to say unto thee. When I read stuff like this, I said, thank you, Jesus, for that wisdom. He didn't say, this is Paul's nephew. He got something to tell you that Paul told him that he was going to get killed. Listen. Let's look at the next verse. And then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately. Now, God is orchestrating all this. He pulled him apart from the rest of the people. And he asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed. Now listen at this. Listen. The Jews have agreed to do what? What did Jews agree to do? That they're going to kill. That they're going. This is what that the Jews desire that you, that thou wouldn't bring down Paul tomorrow to the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have done what? Killed him, and go ahead. They are now ready, looking for a promise. All they want is a word from you. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Come on, please start walking this way. But let me tell you what. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about the agree. Come this way. Let me tell you about this agree. When you get to the Bible and you read in in Matthew chapter 18. Let me show you that. Go there right quick. Matthew 18. Watch this. Now we take this scripture and we use this scripture for a prayer meeting. Matthew 18. This wasn't a prayer meeting. Go to Matthew 18 and show you something. This wasn't a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. If you got it, say amen. This is round verse 10. He said, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do what? Always behold the face of your Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Thank you, Lord. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the what? 99 and go into the mountain and seek that which is gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. And even so is not, watch this, the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. He said, moreover, if your brethren shall trespass against thee, you are to do what? Go tell him his fault. Do like that young man. Do privately. Tell him his fault. between thee and what?
Him alone.
You don't go around the whole church and tell everybody. You don't talk about him to everybody. Him alone. And if he what? If he should hear thee, then thou hast gained whom? You've gained your brother. Look what he keep calling him. Your what? Your brother. The word brother means born from the same womb. The same womb. That's what a brother means. But if he will not hear thee, then what you to do? Take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Now listen, let's go back again. Let's get this clear. He said, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against thee, you go and you talk to him alone. Tell him about his faults. If he hear you, then you have gained your brother. But if he hasn't, then you get what? One or two witnesses. That's the law. You got it? Now we can go on. He said, but if he will not hear thee, then you do what? That's when you take, though, verse 16. That's when you take it with thee, one or two witnesses, that every word may be established. Now watch this. And if he shall neglect to hear them, then you do what? Wait a minute. Is your church set up to handle this kind of business? This is the order. That's what the church ought to be able to do. Or have you discussed with everybody? By the time it does. And in fact, it never probably come before the church.
Right.
You got a group of people, praise God, that's probably got more baggage than the one you bring before them.
My God. Jesus.
That's right. It's a church meeting.
Yes,
it would have been a prayer meeting before they started, but it's a church meeting. Look what he said. Bring it to the church. But if he neglect to hear, watch this, the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen, man and a publican. That's what Jesus said. Then he said, verily, he said, truly I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I want to say unto you that if two of you shall do what? Earth, anything. Watch this. Anything, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be what? Unto them of my Father which is in heaven. Now he's talking to the church. I took it there to show you this. They agreed, but they went in the church, but they, four of them agreed. He said, only if two or three of you agree. We can't get two or three of us to agree in the church. Four of them agreed. That's in your book. They agreed that we're not going to eat and we're not going to drink. Can we do what? How many was it?
40.
He said, all you need for me to be the minister of you is what? Church meeting. Wasn't a prayer meeting. The discipline had to do with the brother who didn't praise God, acknowledge the other brother that went to that brother. So now you bring it to the church. Truth. Versus tradition. Somebody in the book. Somebody's not in the book. And then you can read the rest of it for yourself and go on. Verse 20 said, for where there are two or three gathered together, where? In my name. Listen, were they gathered together in the name of Jesus? Over there, these 40? No, they weren't. They were gathered together in the name of a curse. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Be safe. Are you reading this?
Yes.
I stop. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me stop and ask you any questions. Comments? Question. Yes.
What
is saying, 18th chapter, Matthew, or?
The story is something about brother trespassing.
Okay.
Blood
in the body. Remember I said womb, born of the same womb. But it could be your blood, but it's talking about, this is reminiscent to church. So that's how come you know it's the womb. A brother that's born in the church. That's your brother. What the Bible called him. If that brother, and if you, if it's your own natural brother, if he's in the body of Christ, then you're double kin. But it's still, the standards is the same. But the brother that's of the same, he's in the family. This was in the family of God. Yeah, born of the same womb. That's what the word brother means. Got the same faith. Yep, same faith. Good question. Any more questions? We're not doing it though. We'll walk around with bitterness in our hearts. And let me tell you something. Let me show you something else. I see another question. Hand back there.
Can you give us the meaning of bondage?
Bondage? Yes, I can give you the meaning of bondage. Now, I don't give you the meaning of bondage. I give you an example. Come here. Put your Bible right there. Come here, Mom. Put your hand behind me. All right. I'm going to give you two definitions. Come on, hold on. Hand. Okay. Pull them together. Hold them together. Have you ever seen anybody like that?
Yeah.
Okay. When they like that, where they taking them? That's right. That's right. You going to jail. Okay. And so that means you can't what?
Get away.
You can't get away. Hard for you. Sometimes they put you in shackles.
Yes.
Put on your legs. Okay? Yes. Sometimes you can be in bondage and they may not have a shackle or they may have a tether. Mm-hmm. But that's giving me, they are monitoring your movements. But this is not talking about this kind of bondage. He talking about your mind. You turn loose. You may not, these may be free, but you're here bound. Can't sleep. Can't move on. Can't get over something. Under condemnation. Take your Bible and turn. Did that help you? That means being in bondage. In your mind. Your emotion. Stress can do it. Unforgiveness. Hurt. Anger. Bitterness. Malice. Turn it loose. See, the officer of bondage being loose. Somebody sitting right here needed it. They need what you just asked. Sitting up in here bound. In the mind. Can't move on. Still holding on to what happened in 2013. And can't get over it. And can't, every time they go to a relationship, they take that bondage with them. Hallelujah. And they're accusing everybody from what happened a long ago. Some people are still bound by some of the, listen, Satan's still bringing back, and a good question, you got me on the road, Satan's still bringing back, praise God, thing that they have been through, thought that they were delivered from.
Yes.
And just a simple, sometimes it could be a movie, a picture, and bring back, put you back in bondage.
That's right.
That's why you have to cast down imagination.
Yes.
You have to do it. And cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're in bondage, the only thing that's going to keep you out of bondage is the word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
God's word. You need God's word. Liberty in God's word. Freedom in God's word. Deliverance in God's word. Glory.
Praise God.
Did that help you?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Come on and praise God in this place. Praise God in this place. In bondage. Bound in their emotions. Can't move on. And can't help nobody. So when you try to help somebody, you're pretending. Because you haven't dealt with your own. Oh, mercy, Jesus. Haven't dealt with your own. See, a lot of people, praise God, they'll come up and they say, hey, I need prayer. So, okay, need prayer. All right, for what? I need prayer for my husband. You the one that's in bondage. But you didn't ask it, so you don't even know it.
All right.
You don't even know it. But you're in bondage. I'm just using that for an example. For an example. I want you to pray. Pray for what? Pray for my children. Amen. They're rebellious. How come?
Yeah.
You forgot that's something that praise God you did. Amen. Have you ever sat them down? Talk to them. Go to Luke chapter 4 right quick. That's a good question, sweetie. And I don't remember seeing you here before, but that's a very good question. Luke chapter 4. And that's what I love. If you don't know, ask. Because there are folks that will sit up and bow their head and act like they know and they pretend. Amen. And they don't know. Like I said, I'll go back again. I used to teach school.
Right.
And I said, does everyone understand? Yes, Miss Davis. And I give a test, and they're the first one to get an E on. Yeah. Didn't ask. Go with me to Luke chapter 4 right quick. Let me show you something.
Yeah.
You got it? Yeah, baby.
This is something that I'm sure probably everybody in here probably have went through this. And this is my pet peeve. It's something that used to bother me so bad I could just walk out of church. There's times when something is said in church,
uh-huh,
and somebody might know you did it or you like that, and they nudge you or let on everybody know that. Yeah,
they talk about it. Right.
I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Don't put me on the spot like that.
That's right.
Then you have to open your mouth. But it's the gestures. Mm-hmm. And it used to bug me because, yes, I know what I do, and that's why I'm here.
That's right.
And I don't need to let everybody know that I'm quick to speak or, you know, I speak out of turn or too much. And people do that.
That's
and
true.
I used to, the devil convinced me. Always think it was just me. No, it's not bad. I always thought, is it just me? Why come every time I get in church, everybody want to look like they want to point the finger at me when something is being said?
Right.
And I just want to walk out.
Get up and just want to walk out.
Deal with me on that to just hear, just kind of push it to the background and just hear what, you know, listen to the word and get what I put out of it. But it was so many times where I just thought, you know what, I can't get no help here.
Did God give you, did God deal with you, Bridget?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Sometimes when you hear a word, Bridget, sometimes it's not a word to bring you under condemnation. Because you're not the only one that's going through. Okay? Sometimes you're not the only one, but I understand what you're saying, and that's good. And God bless you for recognizing that I got to get beyond this. I got to get on so I can help somebody else. That's what he said to Peter. He said, Peter, this is what he called him. Actually, he called him Simon by his old name. He said, Satan desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, well, I prayed for you. What you prayed, Jesus? Prayed that my mother-in-law love me? Prayed that, you know, everything will go right? No, I prayed that, listen, your faith faileth not. But he said this, Bridget, when thou art converted, strengthen the brother. So when you've been through something, you may need to help somebody else. Luke chapter 4 right quick. Let me show you something. Another hand, Luke chapter 4. Got it? Your hand is up? Question? Got it. Okay, let me show you. I'm listening. Oh, you said you... I didn't hear you, baby. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Well, I sent her back to you. Praise God. Did you get it, sugar? Okay. Luke chapter 4. Amen. Let me show you something right quick.
Praise God.
It's important for us to know the word of the Lord. Have you ever gone and you've said and you heard somebody who was sharing God's word and just like they were rattling on you, wondering, where is this going?
Amen.
Where is this going? What am I going to get from? What do I take away from here? You got to study. Let me tell you, the Bible teaches to study to be quiet. That's what it said. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And there's some other area I'm going to show you that he said that you need to study in. But look at this. Look at this. Luke chapter 4. If you got it, and say amen.
Amen.
Now Jesus has been tempted by Satan. And so he comes now. And he goes to the church. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 14. He returned in the power of the Spirit, but he had been tested. You can read this for yourself. By Satan. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And then he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Folks don't acknowledge you always in your hometown. Stay with me. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He strategically found what he wanted to read. He didn't just put the book down and flip. He found the book of Isaiah. Look what happened here. This is what it said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what?
Preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel to the poor. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
What else the Spirit anointed him to do?
Send
me to heal the brokenhearted. And to do what?
To preach
deliverance to the captive. And what?
Recovering
of sight to the blind. And to what else?
To set in liberty to them that are bruised.
That are bruised. And to preach what?
Acceptable
of the Lord. Go back. Let me show you something. He said, and to preach deliverance to the captive. That word means those that are bound. You see that, sugar? The bound. And recovering of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. Those that are bruised mean emotionally you could have been bruised in your spirit. Hurt as a child. Bruised because things that you had been subject to. And so emotionally, you are bruised and trying to get over the hurt you've suffered as a child from the hands of those who said that they love you. And here you are, suffering. And nobody around you can see it. Day in and day out you come. And they can't see that you need deliverance.
My God.
That you need help. And folks will walk past you. Just like the wounded man we got that was a Samaritan. The priest walked by you.
My God.
The Levite walked by you. But God will send a good Samaritan.
Yes, he will.
Somebody that has compassion.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
To help you. That's what the book says. Hey, it's happening all the time. And that's why we need the word of God to do what? To discern and to deliver us and give us a word. Because that's where it is. Let me stop and answer any question. Because that was a good question. That was a good question. All right. Got another question? Come on, Alicia. Listen at her. Now, some of you heard it before, so let's hear it again. It's a repeat.
I leave my coat on.
Huh? I don't care. Leave your coat on. Yeah.
Amen.
Leave your coat on.
There is something that you owe yourself if you want good health and a life full of wealth, because God has some major plans for you, but first you have some inner work to do. Woo. There's a reason why your dreams don't last. It's because you've been holding on to your past. And it eats away at your success. This anger and pain that was repressed. alone while they barely even remember that episode. They may have tested you or rejected you, and you want to hold in a grudge like the rest would do. But you must let go, because you will not be able to grow. It will be so many years wasted before you realize how you were emotionally paralyzed. All those projects you started that never got finished was because a piece of your soul was diminished.
Yes.
But when you let go of your past, you will be replenished.
Oh, hallelujah.
You must release the pain that they put you through and break those chains that are binding you. This same release has happened to me, and it feels so good to live so free. And Lord, the true purpose in life, it will come and find you once you have the courage to leave your past behind you. It doesn't matter if the tears have been flowing for many years. Even strangers can identify who you are because of how soon you show them your scar. You are in denial because you think you are fine, but the truth is, you're living in past time. So whether you were shot, abused, even molested, what's done is done, and only you can accept it. It may be hard to believe, but after a while, they may decide to reconcile. But if they are still rejecting, you can't stop, because their jaws will drop once you make it to the top. But first, it has to be in your heart to forgive. Live a prosperous life you are sure to live. And this fortune that I am talking about, you will possess both inside and out. And your bright future, it will prove the rest. If you apply to your life this secret to success.
That girl's first time I heard that was just so real. It was putting in words what people were feeling. Thank you, Alicia. That came out of her experience. One of these days you may want to give your testimony and share with somebody. But God is good.
Man.
God is good. So give you a chance to be delivered from there. We're going to get out of here. If you've been blessed, come on and be a blessing.
Glory to God.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. I trust and believe that you have heard some words of encouragement, discipline, correction, reproof. I pray that, and then you become enthused. Your heart starts to burn within you as you listen to the word of God from the woman of God. And then you start, you start understanding all that God has done and what he still is doing as he's crossing us to grow in grace and wisdom and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And we just ask in the name of Jesus right now, we're asking for wisdom. We're asking for the wisdom of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom. We ask in the bo shakare amasi. I know I'm asking that for myself. We need wisdom right now. Patience. Endurance. God got it all under control. I pray for your safety. I pray for your spiritual well-being. And I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray it even now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.